Yesterday, the U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments for a case that could limit access to mifepristone, the drug that's used in 60% of abortions.
Justice Jackson?
Good morning, General. So I'm worried that there is a significant mismatch in this case.
You think the FDA is infallible?
No, Your Honor. We don't think that at all, and we don't...
They're saying because we object to having to be forced to participate in this procedure, we're seeking an order preventing anyone from having access to these drugs at all.
And you're asking us to extend and pursue this relatively new remedial course, which this court has never adopted itself.
Mifepristone is currently approved by the Food and Drug Administration, and the FDA passed certain provisions in 2016 and 2021 to make sure that those who need it have access to it. Michigan's Governor Gretchen Whitmer is one of 22 governors around the country who filed an amicus brief to try to keep that access in place. Today, Governor Whitmer joins us to talk about why she thinks we need to maintain access to mifepristone. Plus, we ask her about some of our other burning questions this election year. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, welcome back to Stateside.
Good to be with you.
So folks may remember that in recent years, the FDA made two decisions easing access to mifepristone, making rules on who can prescribe it, when it can be prescribed. Why is this of broad importance in Michigan?
Well, one of the things that we saw in the last election was Michiganders came out and voted to enshrine abortion rights into our Constitution. In the days after, we were able to take the 1931 law off the books and level a lot of barriers that had been erected over decades between women and the ability to make their own decisions about their bodies. And yet, the mifepristone case could impact women in Michigan. If the Supreme Court upholds the lower court's determination, mifepristone would not be available, and that is the predominant way that women are able to have abortion through medical abortion that has been available for 20 years. It's been incredibly safe, and that's why this moment will impact people even in states like ours.
Are there other uses of mifepristone in Michigan that you hear from providers might need protection?
Absolutely. I've been having so many conversations and roundtables, and mifepristone is not only prescribed for to complete an abortion. It is prescribed for a variety of reasons that women and their doctors decide this is the proper course of action. And so I do think that the thought that a lower court judge in one state can put their ideology in front of American women's health care is outrageous. And I'm hopeful that the Supreme Court agrees and invalidates that lower court ruling.
There's no question, to your point, Michigan voters expressed very clear support for Prop 3 in 2022 and reproductive rights. But the Supreme Court's job is to interpret constitutionality, sometimes even in defiance of public sentiment. There have been times in this country when a plurality of voters might have supported policies that we now find problematic, such as segregated schools. Would we not hope that the Supreme Court's opinions would transcend how the public feels about things in some cases where it's warranted?
Of course, that's how the system is supposed to work. But we also know that the politics of the moment have been impacting all sorts of court decisions. It's unfortunate. All that being said, I think that a clear reading of the Constitution, of standing of these plaintiffs, of the substance of trying to undermine the FDA, are compelling legal reasons to reject the lower court's determination. And I'm confident that that's what we're going to see. But I also know that this is a fight that won't even be over with the end of this case.
Governor Whitmer, Proposition 3's mandate on reproductive rights, as approved by voters, has led leaders in the legislature to work on a number of different issues around reproductive health. And I'd like to ask about a separate matter. That's families who are unable to bear children on their own, who seek the option of working with a surrogate to start a family. As you know, surrogacy contracts are not recognized under Michigan law. Is that something that you'd like to see the legislature change?
Yes, and I'll share this. You know, our work has been not just to ensure that women have control and ability to make their own decisions, but also to support families who have children, who by ensuring that they've got access to daycare or free meals at school or maternal and infant health care. We want to support families in Michigan, regardless of how that family is created, and that's why getting rid of these old surrogacy prohibitions is important. That's why ensuring that IVF remains an avenue for families to be created through in vitro fertilization. And so the Michigan Families Protection Act that the legislature has been working on will be hitting my desk soon, and I'm very much looking forward to signing that. We support families. We support women and their ability to make a decision. It's not make the decision that's right for them. It's not one or the other. It's got to be all of the above.
If I may, I'd like to ask about something else that did not get done so far in legislative agendas. Michigan has on the books right now a parental consent requirement for abortion care. Essentially, minors must have permission from a parent or a legal guardian in order to obtain an abortion or seek a waiver from a judge if parental consent is unavailable. When the Reproductive Health Act passed in Lansing last year, Democratic leaders decided they didn't have the political will to try to overturn this requirement. However, there are advocates like Planned Parenthood who say that this requirement is still a major priority for them. What's your position on parental consent?
Well, I can tell you it was a part of the original package, and I was advocating for the whole package to get to my desk. So I do recognize that there are situations where girls and young women are sadly impregnated by someone in their own household. And it's predominantly reasons like that or reasons where there's abuse or the impregnated teenager or child can't get that kind of sign off. And so there are a lot of situations. It doesn't happen frequently, but I do think that there's got to be a mechanism to recognize that not every pregnancy is planned. Not every pregnancy can be carried to term. Not every pregnancy should be carried to term. The only person that can make that determination is the woman or girl with her family or her doctor. Are the best ones to make that decision. The government should not be in the middle of it.
In 2022, there's no question that the Supreme Court's decision on the Dobbs case made reproductive rights a major election issue. And that, of course, was a lot of what propelled Prop 3 to victory here in Michigan. Do you think that this year in 2024, a presidential election year, a year when Michigan has a Senate seat and several important congressional seats that will be on the ballot, do you think that reproductive rights will hold the same power?
I hope that that they do, and here's why. Because my great fear is that people here in Michigan and in other states that have codified reproductive rights think the work is over, and it's not. There is a second Trump term. He has vowed to sign an abortion ban that would eviscerate all the rights that we have procured for ourselves and solidified here in Michigan and in other states like Michigan and Ohio, a very Republican state that overwhelmingly also landed on the side of protecting this right. This presidential election is going to impact abortion rights. The only question is, are we going to have a Biden administration that will continue to fight for abortion rights or a Trump administration that has said that they will sign an abortion ban that'll take this right away from all of us?
We need to take a break. More with Governor Whitmer in a moment.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Support for the Stateside podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Governor, I know you're very busy with state affairs, but may I ask, do you have plans to attend the Democratic National Convention in August?
I anticipate that I will be, yes.
If for some reason President Joe Biden is unable to attend or were unable to continue his candidacy, would you pursue the Democratic nomination at the convention this summer?
That's not going to happen. I am a co-chair of the Biden campaign. The president is, he's locked the nomination. It'll all be official at the convention, and I'll be excited to be there to cast my vote for him.
You know, the questions about President Biden's health and vivacity and fitness to run as potentially the oldest president to get a second term have sort of waxed and waned. You know, he was showing spirit at State of the Union. Some of the criticisms got a little quieter, but we also have on the Republican side Donald Trump as the presumptive nominee. A lot of the younger voters we talk to, and I'm talking 30 and under, are just completely blasé about their options on the ticket this year. What would you say to them about the fact that they just don't see representation when they look at the top of the ticket?
I understand that. You know, I do think that that is a legitimate observation for younger voters who've got the biggest stake in the outcome of this election. You know, I've talked to my own daughters who are 22 and 21, and they are excited about voting. They recognize the high stakes. They also would love to see someone a little closer to their age that they could, I think, more identify with. But at the end of the day, any voter who cares about climate change, who cares about reproductive rights, who cares about our democracy, any voter who cares about making sure that we are, you know, building an economy for that to last, that will make the United States, you know, the powerhouse that we should be, knows that there's only one person who's delivered on those things, and it's President Biden. And that's why, you know, I understand we will have to do a lot of educating and encouraging and registering, but there's no question that President Biden is on the right side of the issues that young voters care about. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that young people see their future in the Biden-Harris agenda.
Michigan is also home to young voters in places like Dearborn and Hamtramck that feel that Joe Biden has not been on the right side of foreign policy issues, most notably in Gaza. What would you want them to know about Joe Biden's grasp of foreign affairs and whether or not he is able to advocate for the Palestinians who've lost their lives in the tens of thousands?
Well, I first going to say I understand, you know, the pain that so many people are feeling about what's playing out in Israel and Gaza, the death toll, the innocent lives that have been lost. It's crushing. And whether you're in the Michigan Jewish community or in our Arab and Muslim and Palestinian communities, there's a lot of pain. One of the things that I know is that as we look to what our future is going to be in this country, as we look to the high stakes of this election, and as we think about, you know, President Biden, what he's done, what he's offered, and where he wants to take us. I believe, and I'm hopeful that people in all these communities will give the president their support. We don't take any of it for granted. And I think that your vote is something that is valuable and should be respected. And that's why I'll continue to make the case on behalf of President Biden. I know that President Trump, second term, wouldn't do anything on the issues that I just named, much less make what's playing out in Gaza any better. It might arguably make it a lot more contentious and a lot more dangerous. So I am supporting the president for all of those reasons, and I will be working hard to engage with people in all of these communities across Michigan.
Governor Whitmer, thank you.
Thank you.
And that's the Stateside podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes at michiganpublic.org. Today's podcast was produced by our podcast editor, Rachel Ishikawa. Other producers on our show are Mike Blank, Ronia Kabensag, Mercedes Mejia, and April Van Buren. Our intern is Olivia Meradian. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Music for the pod comes from Blue Dot Sessions and from Audio Network. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Williams.
I'm Lester Graham. We've been working on a big project about Great Lakes birds called the Bird Connection.
It will look at ducks and trumpeter swans,
egrets and herons,
and piping plovers.
Yes!
We'll discuss what we've discovered at a Michigan Public Issues and Ale event.
Including how some problems for birds are problems for people.
It's at Arbor Brewing Company in Ypsilanti, the evening of May 21st at 7.
You can register at michiganpublic.org.